Well, tomorrow night is our first Bible Bowl of the year, and that will take place at the North Jefferson Church of Christ in Mount Pleasant, Texas. And I thought it would be a good idea for us to study some passages from the book of Daniel. That Bible Bowl is going to be covering the book of Daniel until the end of the year, the Bible Bowl year, which ends in May, I believe. And so there will be several chapters that will be covered on each test. Unfortunately, we won't be able to cover all of those chapters in just one sermon tonight. So we're going to do some select chapters from the book of Daniel and just see if we can't learn some messages from the book of Daniel to try to help our Bible Bowl students and help us as adults as well take the message of the book of Daniel and make it relevant to our lives today. And so this evening we're going to focus on Daniel chapter 1. And when we read in Daniel chapter 1, as the chapter begins, we find that this particular book centers around the life of Daniel, the prophet, and it is set in the land of Babylon after the southern kingdom, that is Judah, has gone into captivity. It begins somewhere around 606 B.C., and the book of Daniel spans the period of time known as the Babylonian captivity and also the Persian rule in that captivity, which is somewhere around 70 years. And so Daniel was very likely a young man, a very young man, when he went into captivity, probably in his early teens, if not younger than that. And at the end of the book of Daniel, he is an aged statesman, a wizened man. And so this book spans his entire lifetime. And we don't know exactly how long Daniel lived, but nevertheless, it is a very fascinating book and a wonderful book to study. The book contains 12 chapters, and it's divided into two different sections. There is the historical section, which is chapters 1 through 6. And then there is the prophetic section, which is chapters 7 through 12. Now, that's not to say that there's not some prophecy in chapters 1 through 6, and there's not some history in chapters 7 through 12. It's just to say that basically 1 through 6 concerns more of a historical story, and chapters 7 through 12 have more of a prophetic story to them. The book of Daniel basically has two messages. One is that God is always in control. And the second message is that the righteous will overcome all things. And these messages are found in Daniel chapter 4 and verse 32 and Daniel chapter 12 and verse 3. But let's get into chapter 1 at this point and read with me, if you will, Daniel chapter 1 and verses 1 through 7. In the third year of the reign of Jehoiakim, king of Judah, Nebuchadnezzar, king of Babylon, came to Jerusalem and besieged it. And the Lord gave Jehoiakim, king of Judah, into his hand with some of the articles of the house of God, which he carried into the land of Shinar to the house of his God. And he brought the articles into the treasure house of his God. Then the king instructed Ashpenaz, the master of the eunuchs, to bring some of the children of Israel and some of the king's descendants and some of the nobles, young men in whom there was no blemish, but good-looking, gifted in all wisdom, possessing knowledge, and quick to understand, who had the ability to serve in the king's palace, and whom they might teach the language and literature of the Chaldeans. And the king appointed for them a daily provision of the king's delicacies, and of the wine which he drank, and 3 years of training for them, so that at the end of that time they might serve before the king. Now from among those of the sons of Judah were Daniel, Hananiah, Mishael, and Azariah. To them the chief of the eunuchs gave names. He gave Daniel the name Belteshazzar, to Hananiah, Shadrach, to Mishael, Meshach, and to Azariah, Abednego. So there's the first seven verses of the book of Daniel, chapter 1. And it talks about the changes that took place in the nation of Judah. That is, in the southern kingdom of Judah. You see, this first seven verses introduces us to the background and the setting of the book of Daniel. And first, the first point that we learn from the book of Daniel is that sometimes there is divine change. Divine change. And that's what we see here in verses 1 through 7. There was divine change for a reason. You see, the nations of Israel had been disobedient to God for many, many years. Jeremiah records their attitude in Jeremiah chapter 6 and verse 16. Thus saith the Lord, stand you in the ways and see and ask for the old paths, wherein is the good way, and walk therein, and you shall find rest for your souls. But they said, we will not walk therein. And so they were being deliberately disobedient to the word of God. And because of that, God used his prophets to tell them that they were going to go into Babylonian captivity. And so he brought the change to Israel. When Israel would not change, God brought the change. And that's a great lesson for us to learn as well. Now, why did God bring this change? Because they had perverted the Lord's message and they had gone after foreign gods. In Amos chapter 5 and verse 26, Amos says that you have borne the tabernacle of Molech and Kiun, your images, the star of your God which you made to yourselves. So they have become idolaters. Isaiah said in Isaiah 6 and verses 9 through 11, that this people, God told Isaiah, go and tell this people, hear you indeed, but do not understand, and see indeed, but do not perceive. Make the heart of this people fat, and make their ears heavy, and shut their eyes, lest they see with their eyes, and hear with their ears, and understand with their hearts, and be converted, and be healed. So God knew that they were being disobedient, and they were going to go into captivity. And Isaiah said, how long? How long should I preach the message? And God's reply was, until the cities be wasted without inhabitant, and the houses without man, and the land be utterly desolate. What a duty to have to preach to that disobedient people until there was no one left. You know, most preachers like to preach to growing congregations, but Isaiah preached to a diminishing congregation, and God told him it was going to be that way because of the disobedience of the people. But God then used his prophets to tell them that they were going into captivity. In Jeremiah 13 and verse 19, he says, the cities of the south shall be shut up, and none shall open them. Judah shall be carried away captive, all of it. It shall be wholly carried away captive. And Amos writes, therefore will I cause you to go into captivity beyond Damascus, saith the Lord, whose name is the God of hosts. Amos 5 and verse 27. And so God promised captivity, and the book of Daniel begins with just that captivity. In 1 Chronicles 6 and verse 15, we read, and Jehoshadak went into captivity when the Lord carried away Judah and Jerusalem by the hand of Nebuchadnezzar. And in 2 Chronicles 26 and verse 31, we read that it was done to fulfill the word of the Lord by the mouth of Jeremiah until the land had enjoyed her Sabbaths. For as long as she lay desolate, she kept Sabbath to fulfill 70 years. That's 70 years. And so God made sure that the land received its Sabbath rests, which the people had not been giving because they had been disobedient to the Lord. And so this is the circumstance that we find Daniel and his friends in. They are in the midst of great divine change. The people wouldn't change, and so God changed the people. And you know, that's a great lesson from the book of Daniel that we need to really understand, is that when we don't obey God and when we don't live according to God's word and follow his will, then God will make sure that he finds some people who will do that. And it may not be the people that we want. But God's will be done. And it will be done in spite of the fact of our own desires, because God doesn't bend to our whims and to our wishes. God accomplishes His will in the world, and we need to get with the program of listening to Him and following that will within our life. So there's great change here. There's a change of location. Daniel and his friends are leaving Jerusalem, and they're going to the capital city of Babylon. There's a change of people. They're no longer going to be surrounded by their friends and neighbors that they're normally used to dealing with. And instead, they're going to be surrounded by a bunch of strangers that they don't even know. And there's a change of personal purposes. I don't know what Daniel and Shadrach and Meshach and Abednego thought about or what they wanted to be when they grew up. But I can almost guarantee you that it wasn't to be a servant in the house of Nebuchadnezzar. That's probably was the furthest thing from their mind about what they wanted to be when they grow up. But now, this is what God has given them to be. And this was all accomplished by the Lord God, who was seeking to punish the nation of Israel for their disobedience. And so, there is divine change. But we also see in Daniel chapter 1 and verses 8 through 16 a divine constancy. That is, there is something that doesn't change. And of course, what doesn't change is the Word of God. People change, locations change, circumstances change, even our own personal purposes can change. But God does not change, and God's will always stays the same. And so when we look in verses 8 through 16, we see constancy, divine constancy. Let's read those verses together. But Daniel purposed in his heart that he would not defile himself with the portion of the king's delicacies, nor with the wine which he drank. Therefore he requested of the chief of the eunuchs that he might not defile himself. Now God had brought Daniel into the favor and goodwill of the chief of the eunuchs. And the chief of the eunuchs said to Daniel, I fear my lord the king, who has appointed your food and drink, for why should he see your faces looking worse than the young men who are your age? Then you would endanger my head before the king. So Daniel said to the steward, whom the chief of the eunuchs had set over Daniel, Hananiah, Mishael, and Azariah, please test your servants for 10 days, and let them give us vegetables to eat and water to drink. Then let our appearance be examined before you, and the appearance of the young men who eat the portion of the king's delicacies. And as you see fit, so deal with your servants. So he consented with them in this matter and tested them 10 days. And at the end of the 10 days, their features appeared better and fatter in flesh than all the young men who ate the portion of the king's delicacies. Thus the steward took away their portion of delicacies and the wine that they were to drink and gave them vegetables. Divine constancy. You know, Daniel was familiar with God's law. He was probably being raised in the temple or close to the temple or in service to the temple in some way so as to perform a function of steward or something like that to the king, so that the king would be served by his knowledge of God's word. Because Daniel has some good knowledge of the word of God here. He knows that he's not supposed to eat the things that the king is setting before him, and that he's not supposed to drink the things that the king is setting before them. Because Daniel knew what the restrictions in God's law were. There were restrictions on certain land animals that they couldn't eat. Leviticus 11, 1 through 7. There were restrictions on water creatures that they shouldn't eat, fish and other things. Leviticus 11, 9 through 12. There were restrictions on certain winged creatures that they were not allowed to eat in Leviticus 11, 13 through 19. And there were restrictions on insects, even, that they were not permitted to eat in Leviticus 11 and 20 through 23. and all crawling animals that were unclean. Leviticus 11:29 through 31. And Daniel understood this. And so since he couldn't control what kind of animals that were being brought in to set before them, he then just basically said, give us vegetables and water, and that will be it for us, and we won't defile ourselves with what the king has to offer. Now, Nebuchadnezzar certainly wasn't going to abide by those restrictions because he didn't believe in the law of God, but Daniel and his friends would. And the constancy that they were able to hold on to while they were in captivity came from God. And so if there was a way to be obedient to God in this foreign land, then Daniel was going to find that way. And he and his friends were going to seek to obey God, even in spite of the horrible circumstances that they were in. And you know, that's a great lesson from the book of Daniel, is that God expects us to be obedient to Him, even when circumstances don't favor that obedience. And it doesn't matter what it might be. It might be others bringing peer pressure upon us. God still expects us to be obedient. It might be a leader of a government saying that he's going to kill us if we continue to pray to God, as Daniel was told in the book of Daniel later on. We still have to be obedient. More likely in our life, it might be a circumstance of sickness or disease that causes us to have some physical pain of some kind. God still expects us to be obedient as long as we have our wits about us. It might be a difficult day at work. God still expects us to be obedient regardless of what those circumstances might be. And God expected Daniel and Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego to be obedient regardless of the circumstances that they were in. And so Daniel suggested a trial period. He said, why don't you test us for 10 days? And you can give us vegetables to eat and water to drink. And if at the end of the 10 days it doesn't please you, then you can do what you want with us. And so that's what they did. The word for vegetables here indicates a legume type plant that is either a bean or some kind of pea of some sort. And so Daniel and his friends ate peas and beans, and beans and peas, and that was pretty much all that they had to eat. Now that would get tiring after a while, but you see, that's how much Daniel loved God. And he knew that his love for God was greater than his desire to eat nice tasting things. And so he went on this diet, and he stayed on this diet. It may have included some things such as wheat and barley and some other grains as well. But this wasn't the rich meat that many are used to having, nor was it, you know, anything like we enjoy today on our breakfast tables. And so Daniel sacrificed all of those things so that he could be obedient to God. But these foods were high in protein and carbohydrates, and they were able to sustain Daniel and his friends and even to help them to grow. And after 10 days on this diet, they showed themselves to be stronger and fitter and in better shape than all the others who were eating the king's delicacies. So Daniel and his friends remained true to God's word, even in the conditions that they were in. Paul wrote to the church at Thessalonica in 1 Thessalonians chapter 3 and verse 3, and he said that no man should be moved by these afflictions. For you yourselves know that we are appointed thereunto. There are afflictions that come our way, and we can allow them to move us away from God's word, or we can stay true to God's word. Well, God wants us to stay true. If you continue in the faith, grounded and settled, and be moved not away from the hope of the gospel which you have heard, and which was preached to every creature which is under heaven, whereof Paul says, I, Paul, am made a minister. Colossians 1 and verse 23. We've got to be grounded and settled in the hope of the gospel. And so there is, secondly, in the book of Daniel chapter 1, divine constancy. Divine change, divine constancy. And then finally, there is divine counsel. Let's look at verses 17 through 21 of the book of Daniel. And for these four young men, God gave them knowledge and skill in all literature and wisdom. And Daniel had understanding in all visions and dreams. Now at the end of the days, when the king had said that they should be brought in, the chief of the eunuchs brought them in before Nebuchadnezzar. Then the king interviewed them, and among them all, none was found like Daniel, Hananiah, Mishael, and Azariah. Therefore, they served before the king. And in all matters of wisdom and understanding about which the king examined them, he found them 10 times better than all the magicians and astrologers who were in all his realm. Thus Daniel continued until the first year of King Cyrus. And so because Daniel was obedient to God, and he did what God commanded him to do, even in these difficult circumstances, God blessed Daniel with wisdom and knowledge that was beyond all of the wisdom and knowledge that was present in the wise men and magicians and astrologers in the nation of Babylon. We recall that God did similarly with Solomon after he prayed for wisdom. In 1 Kings 4 and verse 21, it says that God gave Solomon wisdom and understanding exceeding much, and largeness of heart, even as the sand that is on the seashore. And Peter records the truth about those prophets in the Old Testament that were in fact guided by God's Holy Spirit. He says, "For the prophecy came not in old time by the will of man, but holy men of God spake as they were moved by the Holy Spirit." And so Daniel and Shadrach and Meshach and Abednego were 10 times better than all the others. Now remember what God told us in Deuteronomy chapter 4 and verse 6. That if we keep His word and do it, it will be your wisdom and your understanding in the sight of the nations, which shall hear all these statutes and say, "Surely this great nation is a wise and understanding people." And you know, even today, historians look back on the law of Moses and they say, what a wise and understanding thing to do for a people to be governed by law. And you know, that's the basis for our system of government in today's world as well. Our founding fathers were wise and understanding enough to look back to God's word and recognize that to be governed by law is the highest sort of governance that we can have in this world. And so you will see on the Supreme Court building in Washington, D.C., several wise men spread out to the sides, but at the very top middle is Moses. And what does he have there in his arms? The Ten Commandments. Yes. Through thy commandments thou hast made me wiser than my enemies. For they, that is, thy commandments, are ever with me. I have more understanding than all my teachers, for thy testimonies are my meditation. I understand more than the ancients, because I keep thy precepts. Psalm 119, verses 98 through 100. And so Daniel and his friends were made to give counsel to the king. He was set before Nebuchadnezzar, and he demonstrated his wisdom, and he became the second most influential person in all the nation during Nebuchadnezzar's reign. When the Persians came, he became third. But nevertheless, Daniel played a great role in this nation. Now, such is the course of all who follow God's ways, of all who truly seek to understand God's word and to apply it to their lives. In Acts 9 and verse 15, we read, "But the Lord said unto him, Go thy way, for he is a chosen vessel to me to bear my name before the Gentiles and kings and the children of Israel." You see, God's wisdom as applied within our life will lead to success. And we need to follow God's wisdom regardless of what might happen and regardless of what situation we might be in. Now we understand from this chapter that God had a purpose and that He fulfilled that purpose in the life of Daniel because Daniel was willing to go along with God's purposes. Daniel purposed in his heart, verse 8 says, that he would not defile himself before the king. The purpose of God involved, first of all, divine change. They were taken out of their nation and moved to another because the people had been disobedient. The purpose of God involved divine constancy, and that even though they were in a difficult environment, God still expected them to be obedient to Him. And then third, the purpose of God involved divine counsel. And when Daniel obeyed God, God then granted him wisdom and knowledge, and he was able to provide counsel to others of such a type that he was beyond comparison, 10 times better. And don't you know that the king was very thankful to have a friend like Daniel? We can have people who are thankful to have friends like us if we will study God's word and seek to apply it to our life. And then when our friends need counsel, we can talk to them about the gospel as well and help them to understand how God has helped us in our life through the application of His word. Is someone tonight in need of those prayers? Is someone tonight in need of that divine counsel that God gives? That perhaps you need to come before the throne of God this evening and present your petition to Him. God does hear. He does understand. He wants us. He wants to help us. It may not be in the way that we want, but it will be the way that will really help us. And so why not bring your petition to God this evening? If you need to become a child of God tonight to come under His divine favor so as to receive that wonderful counsel that He has within His word and start living and acting by the word of God each and every day, then become a child of God by hearing His word and believing it, repenting of your sins, confessing Jesus as Christ, and being baptized for the remission of sins. And so whatever your need may be tonight, we invite you to come now while together we stand and sing.